Welcome to Exploring Your Creative Genius. Your host, Carl Nordgren, will teach you how to take an expansive view on what it means to be creative and entrepreneurial. Carl is an entrepreneur, novelist, and a lifelong student. For 20 years, he has been learning how to help folks grow their creative capacities. Now, here's Carl.
Hello and welcome. I hope you're having a wonderful Sunday. Yes, as that great introduction says, my name is Carl Nordgren, and I'm here to take an expansive view on what it means to be creative, and we are going to do that in today's show. But first, let me take care of a couple of items, like the fact that I haven't shared my email with you in some time. It's Carl, with a C, at creativepopulist.com. I'd like to hear from you for any reason. What do you think of the show? Do you have an idea for a guest? Are you a good candidate to be a guest? Are there some creative events taking place that you want me to be talking about? So please reach out. I look forward to hearing from you. I've got some other news, folks. I don't usually promote. I don't think I've promoted anything of mine at all on this show. But when my creativity book, Becoming a Creative Genius, is on sale for just 99 cents, and the e-reader version is on sale for just 99 cents at online book retailers, I feel like I would be doing you a disservice if I don't mention that to you, and the sale goes through the month of May. And tomorrow night, Monday night, if you're listening to this on Sunday the 14th, tomorrow night I will be giving a free online workshop for an hour on creativity. You'll find it on the chapelboro.com website under their wonderful, wonderful current events section, whether you're interested in learning more about my workshop or just want to check to see the wonderful resource that current events page is, please check it out. So I've had fun weaving together today's show. As I said, we're going to range over a number of topics. I'm always committed to helping you construct your own understanding of what it means to be creatively entrepreneurial, and that means I need to give you lots and lots of different perspectives on it. Something that I said about a particular topic a month and a half ago maybe didn't really quite speak to you. Maybe if I talk about that topic later, a few weeks later, then in a slightly different way, maybe it will speak to you. So that's one of the content strategies that I have for this show. For most of this episode, we're going to be referencing the three principles of a creatively entrepreneurial mindset. I've shared these with you before. The number one principle is to be intentionally creatively entrepreneurial. Because you were born with these remarkable creative qualities, look around the room you're in, look down the street if you're driving. Everyone that you see was born with remarkable creative qualities. And so, boy, it just is my passion, my calling to get the word out to people that if you claim it, claim that you're creatively entrepreneurial, it's going to grow. Last night I did a workshop online and an individual said, one of the things that I really appreciate about my time that I've spent with Carl in a coaching relationship is that I've come to understand that a whole lot of what I've been doing in my life has been creative, whereas I've never called it that. So be intentionally creatively entrepreneurial. That's the number one principle. Then principle number two is have a bias for action. Principle number two of a creatively entrepreneurial mindset, have a bias for action. The minute you move, you get smarter. You get smarter because your body gets smarter. You get smarter because you're interacting. So a bias for action. And then the other number two, that's right, I have two number two principles. Number one certainly is being intentionally creatively entrepreneurial. But a bias for action and multiple creative perspectives, folks, they dance together. Sometimes one leads, sometimes the other leads. You're going to see a little sense of that here as we focus on the particular principle of achieving multiple creative perspectives. Here's a quote from who else? Albert Einstein. He's got so many wonderful creative quotes that we've used already in this show. He says, and again, we're talking about multiple creative perspectives. He says, creativity is looking at what others have been looking at and seeing what no one else has seen. Isn't that marvelous? Creativity is looking at what other people are looking at and seeing what no one else has seen. It's looking at what you've been looking at and seeing what you haven't seen is a really helpful way to think about that, because you're going to intentionally, again, back to our first principle, intentionally take on multiple creative perspectives. I'm a creative person. I know I need to take multiple perspectives to intentionally overcome the status quo. It's so powerful. It's going to show us what everyone has seen when we look at it, unless we intentionally find a new view, a different way to look at it, a different light, a different angle, you know, sometimes actually a different angle. Sometimes that's just, emotionally or intellectually to take a different angle. Look at this at a different time of day. Look at it in the morning when you're fresh, and look at it or play with it or think about it later in the day when maybe you're a little bit tired. Right? Look at it today and then look at it again next week. And the it is a new idea, the it is a new project, the it is the thing that you want to understand, this new thing that you want to understand. Pretend you're young when you look at it. Somebody said that in this workshop last night. He said, and he's a dude like me in his 70s, and he said, man, when I'm having a problem with something, I'll sometimes say to myself, what would my 5-year-old version of me do thinking about this song I'm trying to write or this project I'm trying to work on? Or if you're young, pretend you're old. Pretend that you're 70 years old, and how would you think about this if you were in the perspective of a 70-year-old person? Because you know what? The four P professions, the physicists, the psychologists, the poets, and the philosophers, they all agree from these very, very different professional perspectives. Wouldn't you, right? It's just such different domains that they come from, but they all agree on this, and that is that we don't see the world the way it is. We see the world the way we are. So if you want to see something new, if you want to see something that other people aren't seeing as you're looking, then become somebody new, be somebody new, declare that you are a wonderfully creatively entrepreneurial person and embrace it and say, that's who I am, and sometimes be wildly creative, and then sometimes be disciplined in your creativity. Hemingway said, people thought, now people think maybe somebody else said it. Hemingway said, write drunk and edit sober, right? Be different people at different times in your creative process so that you'll see things differently, so you'll attend to things differently. So take on a new persona, take on a new perspective, get really close to it, get a little further away from it, and over time, and that time, if you're in a hurry, can be accelerated to be within a couple of days, you'll see this object, you think about this idea in a way that you hadn't before. Coming back after the break, and we'll have some more ideas for you about how to grow your creative and entrepreneurial qualities. Thank you.
You're listening to Exploring Your Creative Genius with Carl Nordgren. Welcome back to Exploring Your Creative Genius. Here's your host, Carl Nordgren.
Welcome back. We've been talking in the first segment of the show about how important it is to intentionally take on multiple creative perspectives, and how, which is one of the three principles of a creatively entrepreneurial mindset, and how the other principles, having a bias for action and being intentional, support you as you intentionally take on multiple creative perspectives. Let me tell you a story about that, a wonderful story. I got to see it. I was in a room when my oldest grandchild, Solvi, S-O-L-V-I, was, I think, 4 or 5 years old at the time, no older than 5 for sure. And I was in the room with a lot of other kids and some adults, some teachers, and they were introducing these children to the old-fashioned apple peeler, right? Where you stick the apple on the spindle and you turn the handle and the blade comes up and hits the ribbons the peel just right. So a wonderful ribbon of peel comes peeling off. And the idea that the school is trying to accomplish by doing this is to demonstrate to children that, boy, if they invest their will in a project, there's this great result that will occur, right? There's some wonderful productive outcome that will occur when you invest your will. And so when it was Solvi's turn and the apple was there and she turned the handle and then it was through, this one, she was fascinated. I saw how fascinated she was by that wonderful red ribbon that came from her apple. And so then it was the next child's turn and the teacher gently tried to push Solvi aside, but she wasn't having it. Before she would move away, she moved closer. Instead of being an arm's length distance from this apple peeler, she was now just right up to it, just breathing on it. Just if it had a smell, she would have been smelling it. And she's touching every single piece of this machine. She's turning the handle. She's watching the spindle turn. She's feeling how well it's secured to the table, touching every single bit of it. Then finally, the teacher is effective at moving her aside. And as the next young person puts her apple on the spindle and begins to turn, Solvi walks all the way around the table and watches it in action from every single angle. Walks all the way around the table. So she got up really, really, really close. She felt it. She sensed it. She experienced it. Then she stepped back. And then she watched it and looked at it from every angle as it was in operation. And I'm sitting there in the corner and I'm saying, yes, 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 right? She had a bias for action and she used that bias for action to get multiple creative perspectives. And nobody taught her to do that, right? Nobody taught her to do that. That was her natural creative genius. In witness, right? We viewed that natural ability to understand how you look upon something that you're trying to figure out, right? You get as many different perspectives, you get used to it, then you study it. And so that brings our different pieces together, I believe, that wonderful, wonderful story. Let's move on. Let's talk about humility. I've always considered that to be one of the really important creative and entrepreneurial behaviors for somebody to take on. Boy, there's so many reasons why you want to intentionally be humble. One of them is it helps you in your multiple creative perspectives. I said we move on, but you'll see how all this works together, how this fits together. Because when you're humble and you don't believe that you know, right? You don't believe that you know what needs to be known. You're discovering, boy, that's the right mindset to have, right? To look upon this thing with your goal for multiple creative perspectives. Boy, don't you want to have that mindset, right? An open mindset as you're looking through all these multiple creative perspectives. That humility of staying open-ended means it's easier for you to keep on learning, keep on understanding. Now we'll move to other aspects of humility by quoting Van Gogh. Van Gogh is quoted as saying, "Great things are done by bringing a series of small things together." That's an aspect of humility, right? That you can do great things by caring for the small things, by attending to the small things, by nurturing and cultivating and developing the small things can, if you bring them together in a series that unlocks the power of those small things, can result in something even greater. In all of my work, I help folks. I want folks to understand and praise the increment in your creative life, right? When you declare that from this point forward, you're going to be the most creative and entrepreneurial version of yourself that you can possibly be, and you haven't made that declaration before, and you now see yourself as such, you're going to see the world differently, we've established, and it's going to be incrementally different. Right? I'm not suggesting that immediately there'll be a transformation in your view of the world when you declare that you're a creative person. Your change in the view of the world will be incremental. I didn't say just incremental because, referencing the earlier part of the story of the episode, if you look at that thing you're trying to figure out just a little bit differently, that might be what it takes for you to now see what you hadn't previously seen. Now see what other people have only been looking at. So there's great great creative power, certainly potentially great creative power in the increment. Here's another quote that I've shared with you a couple of times. I hope it always means something a little bit differently to you each time you hear it, because you're thinking about it. You're trying to figure out what this means. And that is from Goethe. Was it Wolfgang Johann? Johann Wolfgang? Johann Wolfgang Goethe. Thinking is better than knowing, but not as interesting as looking. Thinking is better than knowing, but not as interesting as looking. Boy, this references a couple of things that we've been talking about, right? Multiple new perspectives. Boy, you want to be looking. You want to be looking. You want to be looking. And you don't want to come with certainty that you know, right? You want to be open. You want to be humble as you are engaged in your interesting looking. Why do you want to be engaged in interesting looking? Because, oh my goodness, does it ever, these direct experiences, right? And I'm taking Goethe's looking for that, right? For in being engaged in the world, right? Looking at it, sense a direct relationship with the world, feeling it and filling all the senses. And that's, boy, that's so good for our subconscious. Our subconscious gets stimulated when we're intentionally just taking on all our sensual experiences. And it doesn't need to be intentional for our subconscious, because it never stops working. It never stops working. And when you come on back from the break, we're going to talk about how important it is to get that creative subconscious working for you.
You're listening to Exploring Your Creative Genius with Carl Nordgren. Welcome back to Exploring Your Creative Genius. Here's your host, Carl Nordgren.
Welcome back. Thanks for coming back. We've been talking about taking multiple creative perspectives. We've been talking about how important it is to be intentional. We've been talking about humility. I promised you at the top of the show that we were going to range over a number of topics, but that I was going to try to weave them together and relate them to each other. I hope that you're feeling like we are doing that. We've gone from creative perspectives to the power of the subconscious, right? How important it is, as Goethe reminds us, to not just not just feel like we know and not just think, but boy, engage in the world, look out at the world, see what's going on, learn something new, get new sensory experiences. Because, folks, the subconscious is such an incredibly powerful ally for you in your creative life. The stat blows me away each time I share it. I verify it, and every time I verify it, I actually discover that I'm being conservative, according to many neuroscientists. The neuroscientists that I reference say that in the moments that it takes our conscious brain to process 50 bits of information, our subconscious brain processes 50 million bits of information. I want to get that working on my behalf. And there are ways for you to influence it. There are ways for you to influence it, because what it's doing, of course, is constant pattern recognition. Pattern recognition of things that you've already know, already experienced, already studied, and pattern recognition of all the sensory inputs that are coming at you in real time. No wonder our subconscious mind consumes 90% of the energy that our brain consumes. And so all of that work that the subconscious is doing in pattern recognition is finding new relationships. So feed it with direct experiences with nature for that rich, rich sensory experience. Spend a lot of time, just immerse yourself in your favorite art, your favorite music, your favorite artist. Just immerse yourself. Don't study them. Don't wonder why. Just be present to them. That feeds your subconscious so very, very well. And now you want to use that subconscious? Here's some ways to use that subconscious. Take a shower. It sounds trite, sounds trivial, but it is true for many of us that full sensory experience of being in the shower, cut off from the rest of the world and being just fully immersed in that hot water, that steam, that for many folks gets their subconscious just very, very active as it's participating in this sensory experience. Here's another way that you can use your creative subconscious. This is one of my personal favorites. I'm a woods walker. I'm wandering in the woods all the time. So when I'm working on a project that maybe I've just kicked off and I want to get a good start on it, or maybe I've been working on it for a while and I need a fresh take on it, here's what I will do. I will take a piece of paper and a pen, and I'll do this by hand, not a keyboard. I'll do this by hand. I will write on that piece of paper a sentence or two or a question or a thought that I have about this project that I'm working on. Your creative brain gets more engaged when you hold something in your hand versus when you're keyboarding. So that's one reason why I insist, I discipline myself intentionally to write something down by hand. The second is, just as that pen point, pen ball is making an imprint on the piece of paper, I imagine that it's imprinting in my subconscious mind as well. And then I forget about it, right? And then I go take a walk out in the woods and I forget all about it. I forget about what it is that's been challenging me, bothering me, attracting me. I just forget all about it. And I take a walk with my dog out there for some period of time, think about all the other stuff, enjoy nature, come on back. And boy, so very, very frequently, there is some new, fresh thinking for me, for this idea. I've just learned about this hack that people as disparate as Thomas Edison and Salvador Dali used to do. And that is, let's stay with Dali. He would put a key or keys in his hand and get very, very comfortable in a comfortable chair and hope that he will slowly, gradually start to rest so that slumber will begin. And when he relaxes so much, his hand that he's made sure is dangling over the arm of the chair relaxes and the keys drop. And that brings him back to a level of awareness, with the hope that at that marginal place, right, where his mind was moving from one state to another state, maybe he's captured what he's thinking about. Right? Maybe he's seen something new in that wonderful moment of transition. Edison did the same thing. I forget now what he put in his hand. I don't think it was keys. I think it was, maybe some piece of lab equipment. They both made sure that they were over wooden floors when they did it, right? You don't want to do this when you're over a carpet and the keys drop and you don't even hear it. So there's some really, I think, really cool ways to get into that magic place, right? Right before you fall asleep, what is it that you're thinking about? Here's one more hack for you folks in the few seconds I've got left. I've shared this one with you all the time, but it's so easy. Stare at green. Stare at green. Not just walk through the woods with all that green, but find a green box, a green cube, and stare at it for 30 seconds. I stare at it twice a day for 30 seconds. Research out of the University of Munich says you get a 25% improvement in your creative performance. Stare at green. Thank you very much for being on here with us today. Look forward to next week. Bye-bye.
This has been Exploring Your Creative Genius on 97.9 The Hill. You can listen to other episodes on chapelboro.com.